New things, I declare. New things. And last night I told you that the first way how God makes things new is what? What does God do? He renames you. All right? God renames you. He gives you a new name. There is something about it. And I was actually thinking about it in the morning when I woke up. First thing, I said, wow, imagine that most believers do not understand this secret. Do you know why everyone was so obsessed to attack the name of Jesus? Do you know there were articles against Jesus when he was alive that he is casting out demons using a demonic spirit? Are you aware of that? No, I'm asking you. Are you aware that? He was accused of being a drunkard. Imagine the rumor that went around the whole Israel. Jesus is a drunkard. He's a drunkard. Imagine in shops, you go there, they are talking about him, how drunkard he is. The Bible says it. Says people called him a drunkard. And there are some who actually, the Bible says, they called him what? A glutton. Apparently, he could eat basins of food. No, wait a minute. You're not getting it. Do you know who a glutton is? A glutton is a person who can eat 6 basins of food. And that's what they called Jesus. Imagine Jesus, wherever he was going, people were discussing like, oh, that guy, he can eat. Imagine this, the Son of God. The devil knows if he destroys your name, you're over. Because he understands the power of a name. If he can tarnish the name, you're finished. Am I speaking to somebody here? Come on, raise up a hand and say, oh Lord, let my name be protected.
Let my name be protected.
It is very important to understand this. Your name. Jesus was called that. That he's a glutton. Apparently, he had a spirit called Beelzebub. They said he cast out demons in the name of... They had a spirit. They gave Jesus Christ that. They said he... Apparently, Jesus Christ had this demonic spirit. It looks like a cow. A Beelzebub spirit. It looks like a cow. Apparently, Jesus Christ, all those miracles. He had an animal in his house. These were rumors going all over Israel. And some believed them. You need to get that. Why? Because the devil understands the power of your name. So you must get this fact. If God makes your name new, if he gives you a name, he gives power to your name. In other words, he rebrands you. You become a spiritual brand that even angels desire one day to meet you and greet you. Oh, you didn't hear me. You become a brand in the spirit. You may not be a brand in the natural, but in the spirit, you become a spiritual brand. Imagine Abraham. God says, you're not Abraham, you are Abraham. Ah, and when he met Melchizedek, Melchizedek said, hey, you are a possessor of heaven and earth. Imagine that Abraham was on earth, but he was having land in heaven. He possessed a section of heaven. Until Jesus gave a parable and he said there was a man who was found himself in the bosom of Abraham in heaven. Possessor. Blessed be Abraham. Say after me, my name shall become great.
My name shall become great.
Say it again, my name shall become great.
My name shall become great.
If they want to destroy you at your workplace, what do? They gossip about your name. Do you know about that woman? Do you know about that man? Do you know? It's all about to tarnish your name. Because the devil knows if your name is favored, you are gone. Say after me again. Say, oh Lord, favor my name.
Favor my name.
Oh Lord,
every name I have,
whether the name of my CV,
whether
the name on my documents,
whether the name of my business,
oh Lord,
favor my name.
So God, if he wants to make things new, he will rename you. He will rebrand you. Number two, God, if he wants to actually make all things around you new, he removes the old order of events, how things were being done, and he makes them to become new. He creates a new order. Imagine no family, no one was getting married. Nobody, when they get married, they get divorced. God says, no, we are making things what? New. The way things will be done in this family from now, it will be different. People will start getting married and they will live forever. So God restructures the events to an extent that wherever you are, you start experiencing things you never experienced. If in your family no one was getting married, you start getting married one by one. You become happy. If there was no millionaire in your family, God restructures the order. My friend, you can pray and God answer you. But if the order has not changed, you say, I'm believing God for a marriage. I'm believing God for a marriage. You will pray for you and you're going to get married. But if there is the order in your family which has not been broken, after your marriage, 3 years later, you'll get divorced. If you have not been delivered from the order of events in your family, you will pray for a financial breakthrough, you'll get it. A door will open, you're going to see a contract, something will happen. But for you to be rich, it will never happen. For the money to stay, it will never work. Because this is nothing to do with the prayer that God answered you. God can answer you. Haven't you read that God answered Daniel? But his prayer was what? Was heard. Didn't God answer? He answered. So you can actually have an answer but no results. Because there could be an order of events. So when God wants to change things around you to become new, he changes how things work around you. How events happen around you. And some of you in your family, nobody has ever become a billionaire. Nobody has ever become a millionaire. Nobody. It's like you will see money, you will see doors opening, but there's a level you hit there and you'll come back. And their families right now, it's like there's a spirit of a particular disease that it works in that family lineage. To an extent that the aunt had the same problem, the cousin has the same problem, you have the same problem, or your child has the same problem. This is the order how things happen in your family. The Bible says in 21 verse 4 of Revelation, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good. Tears gone. Crying gone. Pain gone. All the first order of things gone. Pain, crying. So there are orders in families where it's like this, how even my aunt had sugar. Now also I have sugar. My friend, even your kids, even your grandchildren, it's moving there. This is the order of events. There's order of cancer. There's the order of suffering, order of pain, order of disappointment. Listen, the scripture says, God, what he does, he makes the whole order that is happening around you broken. Gideon said what? He said, we are the least in Manasseh. He said, we are the least. Nobody knows us. We are the forgotten. Nobody remembers us. We are a family that you feel sorry for us. The angel said, that order is gone. From now you shall become the first. I prophesy every order working against you, every order of sickness, every order of suffering, every order of disappointment, every order of disease, every order of delay, every order that is happening in your family, working against you, I stand against it. If I be a prophet, under my voice, under my word, I denounce every order the enemy has put in your family. I command that order to collapse. I speak a new beginning. I declare a new beginning. Somebody shout, I receive it. So there's a new order that God is creating upon you. I told it, how events are happening around you is going to change. Imagine this, every moment you have a miracle, something happens. Every time something good is about to happen, you have to suffer. It's like there is a system working against you. And this system, some of them are inherited. Some of them are even biological. There is a disease in the family, in the bloodline. And some of them are demonic in nature. There is a spirit and a prince responsible for your family's destruction and suffering. And if you will not handle this matter, it will remain like this. But thanks be to God for this month. He has promised us that He is making all things new. How events will be happening around you is going to change. We're going to see an expansion of new things. That order will be broken. We'll be looking at number three. So how does God make all things new? How does God make all things new? How will He do it? So number three, He resurrects. Number one, He renames. Number two, He changes the order of events. And number three, He resurrects. Are you there? Say resurrection. If God wants to make all things new, He makes those dead things to come alive. Say new things. Imagine there are things around you that died, and then all of them, boom, they become alive. Hey. Say amen. Amen. If God wants to make something new, He resurrects. Take this word seriously, because there are things. Do you understand? There are people who were very prayerful before. They are no longer praying like before. They need spiritual resurrection. Firstly, let's go to the book of Romans. Okay. We're going to read the book of Romans chapter 8 from verse 11.
But if the spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His spirit who dwells in you.
But if the spirit of Him. I love this. It says, He who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise you. Come on, someone say, He will also raise me. He will resurrect you. This is the point. We have the spirit of resurrection. Dead things can come alive. Get this now. So if God wants to make things new, let's look at it. Jesus Christ is killed. On the cross, He's put there and He's hung there and He's taken and He's put in a grave and they put a stone over there. They are done with Jesus. When God wanted to make things new, what did He do? He resurrected Him. And when He rose from the dead, He was no longer the same. He does not need now a door to open for Him to come out. He can just appear even in this room. Close, just appear. All things have become what? New. There is no more limitation. There is no more a place where you can actually lock Him up. Everything became new. When He resurrected, everything became new. If God wants to do something around you, what He does, He begins to resurrect things. There are people in this season who resurrect in prayer. I see people who resurrect into intercession. There are people who resurrect right now. Am I talking to somebody right here? So what happened with Abraham? Abraham, his wife, the womb was dead. I'm talking to somebody right here. Abraham, his wife was what? The womb was what? But what happened when God wanted to make all things new? God resurrected the dead womb in a living woman, a womb that died, just resurrected and became fresh. I prophesy to somebody right now, I don't care what died around you, but sarupra anta kapahate, shakiri koprahata, manderebo shika prahande. Resurrection, resurrection, resurrection. Your money will resurrect. Your money is coming again. Your spiritual life is coming again. Your prayer life is coming again. Your healing is coming again. Your health is coming again. Opportunities are coming again. Resurrection. Whatever died and stopped functioning, it will start again. La soufre en de kabush. In Romans chapter 4 verse 17. What does the scripture say? Karamonde frehende kabush. La saramonde kepaya.
As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did.
Go ahead. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. In verse 19, the scripture continues, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already what? Abraham, his body was dead. He was almost 100 years of age. His body was almost dead. But he did not consider that. When God said he would have a child, he did not consider that. Come on. Then says he did not consider his body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not consider it. Because the Bible says he believed in God. Who what? Who gives life to the dead. Who resurrects what died. It doesn't matter. Whether there is hope, you had hope, your hope is dead, he resurrects hope. Whether your faith is finished, he can resurrect your faith. Whether your opportunities are dead, he can bring back opportunities. Whether your money disappeared, he can bring back money. Am I talking to somebody right here? Read it again. Just read it again. Just read it again.
And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb.
In verse 20, it says what? It says, he did not waver
at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God.
So what happened? The womb of his wife was what? Was dead.
Dead.
Him, almost 100 years, his body was dead. Can you imagine what happened? What happened? I just told you what happened. Whatsoever died in his body as an old man, resurrected. The womb of his wife, resurrected. In this season, I promise you, things will resurrect. Can you believe this? Can you imagine this man was believing things which actually he never saw Jesus resurrecting? We are living in post-Jesus death. He was not there. He never even heard that Jesus died. But the man was believing in resurrection. What more us? What more us? Somebody say resurrection. Can you imagine this? He believed, and what happened? How God made things new around his life. What happened? He who was called barren, all things became new. He has now what? A child. He has now what? Descendants. Huh? Everything became what? From barrenness to fruitfulness. This shall be your portion.
I receive.
I decree and declare.
I receive.
Whatsoever died around you.
Yes.
Somebody say resurrection.
Resurrection.
confess it in faith against a resurrection.
Resurrection.
Imagine that he has renamed the things around you. Imagine that he changes the order of events. Then he begins to bring light to life. Imagine you thought, I think my future is gone. Some of you even had plans. I want to buy this. I want to do this. I want to achieve this. You actually left all those plans now because of your financial. He will resurrect them. All those plans will come back to life. He will bring to life. He will bring it. I promise you. Lost hope, lost destiny, lost opportunities. They are coming back. One day should go in your bedroom like this. Just do it. What I'm saying. Hold your wall of your bed like this inside your room. Just hold the wall and begin to pray. To say, whatsoever that died in my life that was meant for me, resurrect. I call you now, resurrect. Walk around your room and say, now I speak resurrection to everything that is supposed to be mine. Whatsoever the enemy killed. Do you know what God said to Ezekiel? He said, Ezekiel, he said, can these bones live? Ezekiel doubted. He said, I don't know. He said, only you. God said, do you know they can live? Do you know they can be resurrection? He said, only you. And God said, speak to them. Prophesy to the dry bones. Thus says the Lord, live. And the Bible said there was a rattling voice. Bone came to bone. Marrow came to marrow. Blood came into the flesh. And God said, speak life. Prophesy to the wind. He said, wind, thus says the Lord, you shall come. Breathe into these dead bodies. And it was so that the dry bones came alive. Resurrection in the valley. This time around, it will not be resurrection in the valley. It will be resurrection in your house. Resurrection in your business. Resurrection in your body. Resurrection of your opportunities.
I receive.
Somebody shout resurrection.
Resurrection.
A God who calls things which are not as though they are. The last thing that God does when he is trying to make all things new around you, he restores. Somebody say, he restores.
He restores.
Restoration. Now, I want to say something here. We're going to learn a little bit from the life of Jacob. Jacob went through a tough moment. Can you imagine having a child you love most? Hearing a story from his brothers that, Dad, that child has been eaten by a lion. Yet it was all fake. They had sold him. Imagine the feeling that actually Jacob had. Until Jacob spoke a very, depressing statement. And I want us to go into the book of Genesis quickly. And we are going to read this scripture together. So in the book of Genesis, I love this. 47 verse 9.
And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage.
Now, I just want to say something here that is very important. I just want you to underline the word few and evil. Imagine Jacob saying that the days of his life were few and evil. You didn't hear me. Jacob says this statement, the days of my life were few and the days of my life were evil. Let's check this scripture quickly. Let's go to Genesis 48, verse 15 to 16.
And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth.
Now, there's something there that I hope you are seeing what I'm seeing there. So in the chapter 47, he mentions that in his days, there was evil. In 48, then he says there was a special angel who was delivering him when there's something evil happening. Oh, you didn't hear me. He says there was an angel that was delivering him when there was evil. And God had blessed Jacob. And we see Jacob now he's talking to Pharaoh. Jacob is talking to Pharaoh, the king, because of his son Joseph. And he says there was an angel that was responsible to deliver me from all evil. And he mentions the years. He says the years I've lived, they are few. But if you see the number of years he's talking about, 130 years, he says they are few. He says in those 130s, for him to reach there, there was a special angel delivering him. Am I talking to somebody here? Now, Jacob, he is speaking from the point of restoration. He is now happy. The evil days are gone. He now meets his son. He's in the palace. He forgets all the evil days. He says, there was an angel that delivered me. We are here in Egypt before Pharaoh because an angel was involved. He delivered us from our problems, and here we are in a place called Goshen. I hope you're getting this, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, I want you to know this. God, if he wants to make things new in your life, he will just restore you. Remember what God gave us. On 31st December, I gave you a message. And what was the message? I said, there'll be worthy transfer. And remember what I told you. I said, there are three things you have to do. I said, pure heart, clean hands. I don't know if you remember those things. It's not everyone who arrive in Canaan. We have to be very careful. Tonight I'm talking to you about new things. I can talk about these new things. You can just be a person receiving and not getting it. There is something that happens. So I'm telling you right now. The Lord said, I am about to restore. I will restore. And what God is going to restore, what he spoke to me in the morning, he didn't say he will restore money to you. He said he will restore the years. All your wasted years. All the years you have suffered, God will restore. Say he restores. He renames. He resurrects. He changes the order. So if you'll be praying this week, take these points I've given you and begin to pray. There are people that God will restore totally, 100%. You will be restored. Your faith, your prayer, your spiritual life, your seriousness with God, how you love God, you shall be restored. And there are people who are watching me now who they lost things and God will restore you. And this restoration, he won't just restore you and bring you back what you lost. He will bring even more than what you lost.